Praise the Lord. I just hang around until somebody tells me it's your turn. Then I have to check twice. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads for a moment. We once again, Lord, reiterate that we're here to worship You. We hunger and thirst for You. We're desperate for You. Our life never has been and never will be complete unless You are our life. We love You, Lord. We now thrust You to the center point right now, Lord. No faces, no names except Yours. No words but Yours, Lord. I ask You for what I need to say to Your people today. Visit me so that the visitation by the Holy Spirit will come upon them. You said by the foolishness of preaching, and therefore we step up to that point right now. We love You, Lord. We do not want to leave here the same. We want to see what You see, hear what You hear, and know what You know, so that we can do Your will, so that Your kingdom goes forth. Let that be established here today. We thank You in advance that it's done in Jesus' name, and everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Once again, our 10th anniversary. Let me ask you something. Actually, some of us have been together more than 10 years. First starting in a Bible study. Do the children need to go someplace? All right, we'll do that now. Y'all be blessed. How many of you have been here the full 10 years? Was that four? I didn't raise my hand. Some were here before that time. And so for those, I don't need to tell you much history. You are history. We'll pray you're the anchor and not the problem. Amen? Hallelujah. But we've had ups and downs and ups and downs and ups and downs and ups. Never stop on a down. But one of the things that we're rejoicing in right now is that it's our building.
Yes.
We've tried it a few other ways, and it's just an awful lot. It seems to spurt growth, and then it doesn't. And we're going to get into a place where we can call ours, hopefully for a short period of time, until we can call another place ours, whether we never have to rent again or share with anybody else or anything like that. Not that we look back with disdain, but we are more comfortable now. Let's put it that way. Praise the Lord. It seems a time of celebration, and I've been thinking about that. And it seems like God does a lot of work at certain times. It seems like that my birthday was a few days ago, and our anniversary was yesterday. Right? My wife's birthday is today. There's been several in here that this last month is their birthday. I'm sure that means something, and one day God will reveal. I can't believe my wife told her age. Now, if I'd have done that, she'd have gotten mad. You know that, don't you? But I knew that I was going to have to stand in front of you and say I had a 29-year-old wife with four grandkids. And I wasn't sure that was going to fly or not. Praise the Lord. I'm going to stray from my series for today. I'm thankful for Chuck filling in for me last week. I know God blessed through his message. And I know God's going to do something today through this one. The title of today's message is, Can You See the Mountaintops? Can You See the Mountaintops? I have been doing an awful lot of preaching in the last little bit. And today I'm going to mix a little preaching with a little prophetic statements. I don't quite understand all in God's timing, but I know it's God's timing. Therefore, what I'm saying is correct timing. I don't have to question whether it's correct or not. I do believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that God's going to lead me a little bit more back into the prophetic. I don't know why, but that's what I'm feeling, which I feel sorry for you. That just means that you're going to have to put up with me for a while. Preaching's good. Prophetic is rough. Today it won't be rough. It'll only be rough if you disagree with me and then be real quiet or it'll get rough. Let me explain that to you. If I hear something from God and I believe it's prophetic, you're dangerous to me if you come against it. I believe you're dangerous to God. That's the only reason I'm saying that. You don't have to take what I say as hook, line, and sinker. Never do that even in the prophetic. Never, ever. But at least put it up on the shelf and let it set and rest and see what comes from it. That's the way the prophetic works. Don't ever be gullible enough to swallow it all. But just set it to one side. Set on it like an old hen. Do what you want. But don't move on it until it's confirmed in your heart. Many people get wounded and destroyed by putting their eyes upon a man rather than... Let me say this to you. God is never in a hurry. Please understand that. God is not in a hurry. He doesn't own a clock. He doesn't own a calendar. He doesn't even know what time is. And to be in a hurry, you have to have some time frame involved. He doesn't own any. Okay? So if a prophetic word comes to you in some way, don't feel like God has just laid out an emergency. What He wants is for you to listen to Him. It says meditate on these things. It doesn't say jump like a frog on them. Meditate on them. Listen. Now, I'm going to mix some fact with some prophetic here today. And let me begin by saying this. I'm going to alter Bill's word just a little. One of the things becoming very clear to me is that the calm, the protection, the blessing that we're supposed to walk in comes from obedience. I want you to understand that. It comes from obedience. The only time you're going to be at perfect peace with God is, and God is Word, is when you are incorporated in His Word, in His will. Therefore, you are at peace. Do you understand what I mean by that? I can boil it down to a real simple one that none of y'all are involved with. I know. If you know that God's Word says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Therefore, if you are committing adultery, you cannot be at peace with God's Word. Does that make sense? That comes, your peace comes from obedience. If God says, thou shalt not lie, steal, and you involve yourself with those things, you will never be at the peace that's offered by God. Because you're not involved with His Word. You're not letting the Word change you. All right. I'm going to start with this scripture today. And unusually so, I'll probably use this as my only scripture. Genesis chapter 8, verses 4 and 5. Does everybody know what month this is? Which is the 10th month on our calendar. Is that correct? All right. Then the ark rested in the 7th month, the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Can you see the mountaintops? Let me tell you something. This morning I want to speak some life and some direction into the body. And I want us to look at Noah and his flood and compare our trek and our future by looking at him. Does that make sense? Now, we have a little hard time, so we're going to work with a few things today called percentages. Loosely, I'm not going to try to make this a scientific fact. But Noah lived about 950 years. The floods began when he was 600 years old. He heard the first word from God about the flood 120 years earlier. If you're going by percentages, that would be about 10, 12 years earlier. So he had this to look forward to for 10% of his life, or for 120 years. Everybody around you is going to die. The world's going to die. And you've got to build a boat. Now, doesn't that sound encouraging? I'm going to tell you something. Between the world and you, I'm assuming everybody in here is a Christian, so I'm going to say you. When we hear from God a word like, I'm going to flood the earth and I'm going to destroy sin, the Bible commands us to lift up our eyes. In other words, that's an encouraging word. Our physical body says, are you crazy? That's not an encouraging word. But we are not flesh beings. We are faith beings. Born unto the Spirit of the living God. Born by God. Birthed by God. Our battle is to make sure that we're in agreement with God's Word. Not listening to our old, lousy, complaining, lazy flesh. But our main work is get to believe in God, that He's good all the time, and all the time He's good.
Amen?
Amen? Yeah. And no matter what we see, no matter what we hear, no matter what we feel, it is good.
Yes.
Because as he quoted, Jeremiah 29:11, I know his thoughts. They are for good.
Yes.
And when God thinks, things happen. When he speaks, things happen. And they are good. Now listen, your flesh is never going to agree with that. It's always going to tell you, God's nuts, you're nuts, the church is nuts, everything's gone to hell in a handbasket, and there's no hope.
That's right.
You don't believe that? Well, just listen to yourself once in a while.
Yeah.
Listen to your friends. Listen to the news. Listen to everything that's around you. Noah heard a word of the Lord. We could call it a prophetic word. Came to Noah and said, God said this to Noah. Can you imagine this? Now, Noah wasn't smart enough to see the beginning from the end. Only God can do that, okay? But what he heard from God was, Noah, I want you to build a boat. Now, we've talked about this before. That's the craziest word in all of history. Because there was no lakes. Besides that, he wasn't told to build anywhere near water. He was told to build it here, where there was no water. And then the next craziest word, because there's going to be a flood. Noah has to say, what is a flood?
Right.
And what does a boat have to do with the flood? You have to tie them together. I don't understand this. In fact, I don't understand anything about this. Come on. Let's get to where God usually touches us first. When we were living in Corpus Christi, Texas, and God said move to Denver, I said, why? Didn't get an answer. Except because I said so. We didn't move with understanding. We just moved. Noah began to meditate on God's word. I want you to build a boat. Now, the Bible kind of describes it like God said all of this in one time. Build a boat. I want it to be this long, this wide, this tall, and all of this. Here's what's going to happen, and the floods are going to come, and the washing. You know, this isn't what happened. It didn't happen to us that way. It didn't happen to Noah that way. What happened was God began to plant something in Noah's heart called a boat. Why? Because it was going to take him a long time to build it. Why? Because he didn't know what he was doing. You hear me? Because he didn't know what he was doing. God never asks you to do something because you know what you're doing. Because then you'd get the big head. It's going to succeed because God told you to do it. But if you already knew what to do, then you just get the big head saying, look how good I am. Over a process of time, Noah began to let this Word of God become his life. Noah began to let God's Word consume his life. Do you understand Noah was about a life? He was just going on about life like you and I do, have done in times past. He was doing what God was blessing him. God was caring for him. And all of a sudden, let me iterate one thing right here. God didn't ask Noah to build a boat because he'd been bad. Too many times if things don't go real good when God asks us to do something, we think it's punishment. We think we must have been doing bad to have to do this. No, how about you're doing it because God said so and it's going to be good?
Yeah.
It is good. Now, Noah began to build this boat and base his whole life on the flood that is coming. The non-existent, never-existent, impossible thing, never happened and nobody even knows what he's talking about, thing, and he's allowing it to consume his life. And his friends are saying, why? His friends are saying, are you nuts? You're cutting down every tree. You're spending your life savings. Every ounce of energy that you can put out is being consumed by this thing. And for what purpose? Well, I'm going to save the world. Come on, I'm trying to get you all to relate to some of this stuff that we've all been in. And we're in at this moment. You see, we like to believe, because we like cake with frosting on it. We like to believe that everybody in Noah's family was saved. But it wasn't. They weren't. Because Noah had an extended family that's not mentioned here. And they were not saved. Because they didn't heed God's word like Noah did. His immediate family was saved. Why? Because even though they didn't hear the direct word from God, they still got involved in the word of God. They just had to hear it through Noah. I don't understand why it works that way, but that's the way it works. They got involved with the Word of God. That's why we don't talk about this too much, but that's why I believe so wholeheartedly in the prophetic Word. God's timing. We're not going to force that on anybody. We're not going to do anything with it. We're just going to operate in the things that God does. Amen? Noah began to allow his whole family's life to be consumed by a Word from God. My children didn't have a vote when we moved to Denver. They just moved with us. That's called getting involved in God's Word. You know, when we moved to Denver, my parents' lives changed. My friends' lives changed. My friends changed. Why? Doesn't make any sense. Bill, you've been to my house in South Texas. You have, haven't you? Well, it's a whole lot better shape than it was the last time you were there. And it's now empty. And we can move back and turn the air conditioners on and live there right now. Don't have any house payments. Living on 1,200 acres, it's, you know. What I'm trying to tell you is what we're doing now doesn't make any sense. See, that's why you know God's in it. Really? Really? That's where Noah was. By the way, a little tidbit for you. Did you know that Noah was in line, the 10th descendant from Adam? And he's on the 10th month looking at the top of the mountains? I'm trying to encourage you in our 10th year right now. We've spent years getting to this place. Well, it doesn't look like 10 years. Well, let me remind you of something. Oh, Noah, he spent his... Can you imagine Noah the boat builder now, not knowing what he's doing, just following some loose directions. Loose why? Because it wasn't written down. Nobody had him. He's listening from God. He's hearing from God. And he's doing crazy things like putting tar on the side of wood. Whoever... What in the world are you doing that for? Can you imagine living in an area where you really didn't even need a roof because it never rained? And now this guy's tarring wood, building roofs where water can't come in. Now, that's the way my relatives looked at me, just like that. Okay. He finally finished this boat one day. Now, are y'all trying to be in this place I'm trying to put you in? He walks out one day and he says, "Wife, there it is. There it is." And she goes, "Yeah? You want to take me for a ride?" We don't know how long that boat sat there and didn't do anything. It was a monument to his stupidity. Come on, you got friends that talk to you the same way. Until the day of the Lord. Until the day of the Lord said, now, the showers, the blessings come. Do you understand God's whole design for the floods was a blessing, a cleansing, a purifying? And yet everybody looked at it as death. You in your heart right now, that's the way you look at the flood. And yet God's move was to cleanse and to purify. Well, Noah, he just happened to be equipped. Accidentally, of course. Didn't have anything to do with obedience, did it, Bill? He had a place to reside. He had a place of safety. He had a place of blessing because of all of the work that he put in. You know what else happened miraculously there? God says, before the rain, God says, time to go in, Noah. And this is what I want you to take with you. Now, you and I, by the way, I don't know if you know this, but they were on that boat about a year. About a year. I look forward to cruises, but not a year with a whole bunch of animals and a wife that's probably not happy. He walked in there, obeyed God, taking in what he was supposed to. The supplies and provisions were already there because God told him to do it. And when Noah walked in, Bill, God sealed the door. Noah became sealed. Sealed in what? The word, the plan is the same thing. He became sealed in the word and the plan of God. Now, what is the plan of God? Is it the flood? Or is it the cleansing and the prosperity and the healing? And he became sealed in that. What does that mean? That means no flood could overtake him. No weapon formed against him could prosper. It means that he was more than the conquering spirit that was trying to destroy him. You hear me? Now, the good part about that was, and this is available for all of us too, he didn't have a choice. Now see, this is what I like. This is what I like about God. I like it when I get to the position that I don't have a choice. You hear me? In our walk with God, we are supposed to get in the place where adultery is not a choice. Theft is not a choice. Lying is not a choice. Quitting is not a choice. Because I'm sealed. How did I get sealed? I believed God. I obeyed God. And he has sealed me. That's word, by the way. That's not my wishes. That's word. Now, if you like to read the Bible as a storybook, we're probably going to pass that a little bit now. The Bible's not a storybook. It is a story. It is fact. It's truth as it is written. It is prophetic. It is allegoric. That's the trinity of the word. It doesn't just mean what it says. It also means other things. Ask God for the rest of it. Don't try to get fiction books and read what... fiction books and try to believe it's nonfiction. That's not what I'm talking about. He was in this. He did his job. He was protected. God did his job. That's what I mean by that. In all accounts, the boat came up in a tremendous upheaval of the earth. It wasn't just a rain. It was an explosion of heaven and earth. It came up and it went back down. And when it landed, it was very close to where it began. Except now it wasn't in the valley. It was on top. Noah didn't build it on top of a mountain. He built it where he resided. When the flood came up, the boat just hovered. I mean, it just lingered there. And when it came back down, it was very close to where it was built. Why? I don't know why. Ask God. Quit asking me all these questions. But when Noah proved to himself, or actually began to prove to himself, that this thing was coming, as in humans, because we're finite, we want to say it's coming to a head. What all he was doing was moving from glory to glory. But he's moving this way. He started off as Noah, whatever Noah was. Then he went to a shipbuilder, became a shipbuilder and a husbandman, because he had to take care of all these animals before they went on the boat. Then he went to a boat captain. Actually, before that, he went to a preacher that was failed. Do you understand that? Just back up just a little bit. I missed that. This is probably for you and for me and for anybody that thinks they should have thousands around them already. Noah spent 120 years preaching about the, you might say, the second coming of God. Whatever he was preaching, you know what he was preaching. What he was saying to his friends, to his loved ones, to everybody that could, would listen to him, is, listen, I'm building the boat because there's going to be a flood. God's going to cleanse the earth from sin, and you need to come on board. And when it was all said and done, he didn't have enough to have a congregation after 120 years. But he had a little congregation. What did that little congregation do? Replenish the earth. The command that was given to Adam, and he didn't do it. Now Noah's going to do it. Now, for those that think that sound weird, there is only one. You only have one ancestor, and that is Noah. It's not Adam. It's Noah. Okay? There's no Jew, there's no Gentile. That's why God was totally correct when he said there's no Jew, there's no Gentile. Because there's only one grandpapa, and that's Noah. He had a grandpapa called Adam, and I can go back great, 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 but you understand what I'm saying right now. He was a failed minister. After 120 years, only his family would follow him. And yet, his faithfulness, his love for God, his trust for God, replenished the entire earth and actually helped cleanse the entire earth. Amen? All right. Let's compare Noah and his family to us. I think we've been doing that already, but let's just do it a little harder. We were told to come to Colorado. We didn't even know why, so we just came. We started working. We're not afraid of work. We work. That's what people do. Bible says a man don't work, don't eat. I like to eat. So we worked. And let me remind you of something. I don't think it was a good word that Noah heard when he said, when God said build a boat. I don't think it was a good word to Noah. What in the world do I want to build a boat for? Now, let's go back. I didn't come up here. I came up here to have fun, work, get involved in some church and help them out and boom, boom, let's go. We already had the church picked out. We visited up here to know that church is going to work. We were so looking forward to get involved in that church. We didn't want to get too involved. We'd already had our toes stomped on enough. But we knew where there was good singing and good preaching, and we were going to go there. First Sunday we decided, and it was the first Sunday that came around, we didn't lollygag on going to church. Went to that church, came out, never will forget that. Looked at my wife and I said, we'll never go back to that church again. There's something wrong there. I was right and I was wrong. There was something wrong. And God instantly said to me, I don't remember asking you anything. God ever talk to you that way? Like he's some authority figure or something? That I ought to have to listen to him? I remember that. He wasn't even polite. I no more got those words. I was driving the vehicle. I remember that. Turned to her and said, we won't go back there again. Something's wrong. And I never got it out of my mouth until God said, I don't remember asking you anything. And I knew in my heart that we were in for it. Can you imagine Noah knowing in his heart that he was in for it? Come on. You know, the good thing about word is it's got feet and it applies to you and I, and we need to live in it. We don't need to have the word as some fictitious thing, gaseous thing that we can't live and touch and understand. And I remember we went through hell in that church. When I heard that word, I said, Connie, we're not doing nothing. Let's don't say anything. Let's be quiet. We've been a target enough. We've been kicked out of more churches than most people attended, and I don't understand why, so we're going to be real quiet, and it won't happen here. You know what I found out? God's light on you makes you a target. We picked that row in that church, those seats right there, and we sat there every time, and we smiled, and we were quiet. We came in right at the right time and left at the right time. And I never got accused of more things in my life than in that church. I remember the time when the preacher came to say, to me and said, I don't even know why he came to me. But anyway, he said, you're the reason my wife is in psychiatric care. First, I didn't know your wife was in. Never mind. It was good. Is that right? Are these things good? We were led to start a Bible study simply because I was starving to death. I was hungry. I went to the preacher and I wanted to know what the word said, and all I was beginning to get is, "You're the reason my wife's in psychiatric care." Lord have mercy. If I had a brain cell, I would have thanked him for giving me so much power. That gave me, if he can't keep his wife out of psychiatric care, that gave me more power of his wife than he had. Anyway, we started a Bible study. That was more than 10 years ago, right, Patrick? That's 12 years or more ago. And we were having a good time. And we were growing. There were more people in that Bible study than there is here this morning. We had a nice sized room and they were beginning to go out the halls. What are we doing? Just studying God's Word. That's it. And every Bible study, I'd say, hope to see you over there in that church across the street Sunday morning. You remember that? Never. And people would come to me and say, "You need to start a church." Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? Now, come on, let's get Noah's shoes for a second. Are you crazy?
Yep.
Are you out of your mind? I got in more trouble. I got threatened. You don't believe in the trouble. Don't study the Bible if you go to church. It's dangerous. But it's good, because the more I got attacked for studying the Word, let me remind you of something. When it comes to God and His way, usually you're succeeding in where you're getting attacked. Come on. Then one day in prayer, let's don't get spiritual. Let's don't get all spiritual for a second. One day and when I'm thinking about God, is that easier to swallow? God tells me. I meet this guy. He comes. We're building this big house in Evergreen. And he wants to meet me, and I don't want to meet him. I know he's a pastor. I don't want anything to do with him. Guy's got to be nuts. If you're a pastor, you got to be nuts. I already know that. So he comes. And then I find out he's going to try to sell me multi-level. I'm really not liking it at all. I'm busy. So I let him wait for about an hour. And I'm busy, and I'm talking to people. And believe this, how God works. He's just as nice a guy as you can imagine. Just nice and friendly. And I walked over and I said, "My name is Stan. What do you want?" Figured, hey, let's get off on the right foot here. He kind of, "I just want to talk to you for a little bit." I said, "Well, get to talking." I met him. He left. I didn't buy and he didn't sell. But I remember God saying, "That man is going to give you a church." I have to believe in the prophetic because I've seen it work too much, okay? God says, "That man is going to give you his church." I said, "Oh, yeah." As soon as it rains on Noah. See, the Bible is self-correcting. You understand that? If I'm living in the Word, my thought processes will never override what the Word says. So it's instantly self-correcting. There's nothing impossible for God, correct? So if I think that that's impossible, I've just ruled myself out of believing the Word. I've just counted myself out. That doesn't make sense to me. So I began to think about that. More than that, I began to worry about it because, man, if God can say, "Tell Noah, build a boat, and I'm going to flood the earth, and it'll happen," then this could happen. And what am I going to do? I know all pastors are brainless. I've said it too many times. It's got to be true. So it wasn't a pleasant word at the time. It didn't even roll off my tongue now. And I thought, well, I better go see that church that's fixing to be mine. Does that sound crazy? And so I went, took the kids. Nice little church, good group of people, good spirit, good praise, good preaching. I thought, well, that's kind of what I've been looking for. Nothing wrong with this. I think it was the second Sunday I go. And I'm sitting back there minding my own business, quiet. And he looks at me and he says, "God's got a word for us from you." I said, "No, he don't." You remember that?
I remember.
No, he doesn't. The trouble is, God had just given me a word for them. And it's kind of like the word, like the flood's coming. You know in your heart it's good, but you're not there yet. And he said, "Yes, come on up here and give us the word." I said, "No. No." It's kind of like one of those things when your wife walks in and says, "Does this make me look fat?" You can't say it right. You can't win. Yeah, I told you how to win now. Y'all remember that, don't you? All right, well, stick with that. It will work. Anyway, he said, he came back. And he grabbed me by the arm and he drugged me to the front. Now, Give us that word. I leaned over to him and I said, you don't want to hear it. Now, I knew pastors were brainless, and this was the proof, because I'm telling him you don't want to hear this, and he's saying, yes, we do. No, you don't. We're having a war up in front of the church. No, you don't. Yes, we do. And I think finally he began to think something might be wrong, so he said, let's pray. So he prayed. I remember this like it were yesterday. He said, now, give us that word. Okay? This time tomorrow you'll have your answer. You remember that word? This time tomorrow you'll have your answer. Now, maybe I'm mistaken, but generally speaking, if somebody says to you, you don't want to hear this word, you don't want to hear this word, and then the word is, this time tomorrow you'll have the answer, it's not a good word.
That's right.
He starts dancing. That a balloon note was coming. $40,000, I believe it was, and they were going to have to pay this, or they're out of the building, which that building is now gone. And so while he was doing that, I snuck back to my chair and sat down and got quiet. That time tomorrow, they knew. They were out. They were gone. And I knew that's what was going to happen. I knew it. I knew it in here. It wasn't what I wanted. It's just what God said. Remember that? Get in the boat, Noah. I'm going to seal the door. You think that was a good word? In reality, yes. But in here, no way. No way. Please, if we're going to be called sons of God, we have to get out of that little snippet of time frame we like to operate in. We have to see things as God sees them. It's the only way we can survive. I came back Wednesday night for church. I want some church. And they're packed up. See, they didn't call me and said, we got the word, we're out of here. Nobody called me that. And I walked into this place. This was happy, full of praise, full of worship, full of word. It's like somebody, the whole place had gotten cancer. And it was just diagnosed. That's what it felt like. I looked at the pastor's wife and I thought, phew, I hate to live with that. I mean, she was mad, hurt, wounded. And I looked at the people's faces and they were down. And I walked in the auditorium and I turned around and I walked right back out. It's a big picture window right over here facing Colfax, and there was a used car lot across the road. And it had big, huge white lights all over. And I'm not looking. I don't want scenery of a used car lot. It wasn't what I was doing. I was hanging on for dear life, saying, God, what you got me into? I'm supposed to be the light of the world. That's what you told me. This looks like pain. And you use me? Thanks a lot. Come on.
Yeah.
Tell me something, God. Tell me something. Never will forget, it was snowing, big old flakes about that big around that night. And I looked out. I didn't look on purpose. I was crying out to God, and God says, look at the light. Okay, I looked over there and it was gorgeous. The snow was, you know what I'm talking about? When that snow is falling slow and still and the lights hit it. It was gorgeous. And I said, okay, I've seen it before. Now look up. Well, if you look above the light, you can't see anything. There was nothing there. It was just gray. And he said, now look back down at the light. I did. He said, look back up at there. I said, all right. Now, I'm a little impatient here, God. I ask you to tell me something. So far you've seen above light and light. What are you trying to tell me? He said, you keep your eyes on the light and you'll see the blessings fall. You get it off and you'll see nothing. Do you understand there's 1 foot difference? Above you can't see the blessings. On the light you see the blessings. Can you imagine what Noah was doing on that boat looking at the hind end of those animals and what came out for a year? Do you know how many times he had to keep his eye on the light? Cleaning up that stinking mess. I went back in. God gave me 4 things. That was one of them. And I said, come here. And I said, here's what God told me. Those 4 things. If I can give him a bad word, I can give him a good one. It's legal. Then he went to dancing again. Went and got his wife. Handed me his wife and said, take her in the other room and tell her what you just told me. That's not biblical. You tell her. But I did it anyway. I figured he's under enough stress. Didn't faze her a bit. She was still mad. I did what I was supposed to do. Now, you know what happened to him? He started crying out to God. What's going on here? Guess what God tells him? Give him your church. Maybe what I'm really saying here is it may not pay to get involved with me. I can't imagine. I've tried to get in his shoes. I can't imagine that happening. But that's what he did. He came up to me, and he was really reluctant. Came up the house again. Said, Stan, let's go out to my prayer mountain out here, and let's talk for a little while. So I went out there. Trees. And he said, God told me that I'm to give you Actually, there was another rough time before that. God made me go to him and say something to him. The word that I gave him the next time was, "You've heard for yourself, but you haven't heard for your people." That was the word that I gave him. I left. He found me the next day. And he said, "My wife was praying in one area and I was praying in the other side. And here says the word came to both of us. We're to give you the church." I said, "I know. I know." "What do you mean you know?" I said, "God told me that months ago. What do you think I showed up at your church for? You know I haven't politically done one thing to move on your church. In fact, I've kind of acted the fool a little bit and stayed back." Big service. Gave me the church. Two bills. Bill Backus and Bill France are the remnants from that church. Everybody else, he changed his mind. Started a war and tried to take them back and lost them all. So he hurt the kingdom of God. Don't understand that. When you hear from God, let me tell you something. Whether you know or whether you're me, whether you're you, when you hear from God, you stick with that even if it sounds like the worst thing in the face of the earth that's going on. You stick with it. You stick with it. Even if you hate the situation, you hate the people in the situation, you stick with it. Otherwise, you'll never see those mountaintops. You'll never see them. You'll end up under the boat instead of in the boat. Noah obeyed God. Let me tell you where half of this came from. My wife gave me an anniversary card yesterday. And she said in that card, "We walk in the blessings because of your obedience." Sometimes it doesn't always feel like we walk in blessings. What she's saying is the truth, no matter what we think or see. Yeah. Noah saw the mountaintops, and all from that point forward, because he obeyed, built the boats. Took all of those years, 120 years, of solid work when not seeing one ounce of profit. And he did it because he loved God. He did it because he trusted God. He didn't do it because it was popular, and he didn't do it because the sound system was working well. He didn't do it because things were going all that great. He did it because he loved and he trusted his God.
Yes.
Jesus didn't go to the cross because it looked so good and felt so good. He did it because he wanted to please the Father and he trusted the Father. Noah lost many friends and much family because of this. Think about it. Think about some of the people you've seen walk from here, even leave their marriages. Why? You're going, why? Are we that bad a people? No, it's because, for you visitors, we teach the Word. We teach it as honest and open as you're hearing it right now this morning. We pull no punches. We don't try to frill it up. I like the Word without frosting. I can take a whole lot more of it. If I ever get a big piece of cake with those stinking roses on them, you can't eat it because there's too much goo. Just scrape this off and the cake is good. This is the Word. The Word is good. And you can, as much as you want, you can have unless it gets frosted over. He loved his God more than life and more the acceptance of other life. More than acceptance of other life. You know what else he did? The minute he could open that door was unsealed. And I got a feeling he did it through the whole voyage. But the minute he got through, he went outside and he built an altar and he gave God thanks. And it wasn't because he got off the boat. He didn't say, "Thank God I'm off this boat." The altar that he built was to offer up praise and a sweet aroma to God. For what? For doing what God says he'd do. For delivering him. For delivering his family. And you know what else? Listen to this. This is beyond my understanding. He got off to a perfect. He got off the boat and looked at a perfectly clean, pure earth that he owned. Him and his family owned this place. There was nothing there to spoil it. He went from an old, dirty, stinking boat to a life of prosperity and freedom because he obeyed God. And when he looked at the mountaintop, where does God reside? I mean, mountaintops in the Bible always depict where God's at. We always say, well, he's in the mountaintops, he's in the valley. You've got to put up with the valley to get to the mountain. I mean, you've heard all the songs and all the teaching. You know what I'm saying? There's a prophetic word here. He looked out and he saw the mountaintops. You know what he's seeing? He's seeing the tips of the blessings to come. Because where there's tops, there's all the valleys and all the gorgeous places now left. And he knows this. And look what God did for him. You got to be a little bit of a farmer to understand this. He got a whole boatload of livestock. No, and fertilizer. And no debt.
That's right.
And no debt. He walks off with Christian breeding stock, the best of the best livestock breeding stock, and his job is to have dominion on the earth. And he, by the way, by this time he knows God is for him and not against him.
That's right.
Amen.
Woo! Are you still alive? Yeah. Come on. I'm trying to put you at least get off the boat with Noah. You have to clean up with him, but at least walk off with him. You think he had a future? Now I'm going to tell you something. Look at me right quick. I don't care what you that have been here a long time or you have been a short time. I don't care what you think you've seen. You ain't seen nothing yet. I'm telling you. This is the 10th month. This is the first day of the 10th month. That last one was just a remnant from the last month. Well, it's our anniversary, but you know. You understand? I mean, this is the beginning of the 10th month. And I fully intend to walk off this boat.
Amen.
You need to walk with me. Yeah. Or there still might be enough water for you to sink in. No threat. God never threatened Noah saying, if you don't build a boat, I'll drown you. That's not the way God works. God says, you build a boat, it'll save your life.
Right.
I see some mountaintops. I see some mountaintops. Tops don't float on water. They set on something. I never forget when the Bible says God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills that he owns the hills too. Cattle just don't float. And they don't set on tops. They got some valleys. And my background is agriculture. Valleys are where things grow. That's not where things die. That's where they grow. That's where you want your livestock. That's where you want your farming done. That's where your irrigation is going to come from. Let me talk to you about some changes. I've never been known to be short-winded, I've never been known to be short-winded. But this won't take very long. By the way, I went to the School of Theology of Smooth. Graduated with honors, by the way. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. And my wife referred to my parents. You can go back further than that. You can go to grandparents. Both sides of the family. I've been locked in the boat of obedience. Safety. God was speaking to me about obedience when I was 5 years old. Had me falling on my face and repenting. Hungry and thirsting. I remember that saved at 5 years old. Just like I remember that story I told you earlier. God's been faithful to me. You know what? He didn't tell me I was going to have a church for 10 years. Because I might have skated right about that time. I'm glad he didn't. I'm glad he didn't tell me. I'm glad he didn't put on anything on me that I couldn't bear. Amen? And I'm here for the long run. The church is here for the long run. We've been locked in God's protection by obedience. We're now set free into God's kingdom and will. Great things are going to happen now. Let me just tell you something that I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt. That in this church, we're going to follow the greater church. In the next few months, you're going to see things greater than you've ever seen before. I mean it. We've been working to maintain. This is what's going to change. We'll now replenish the earth. Before Noah got on that boat, all he ever faced was opposition. And then when he got on the boat, he faced other things. Let me be not crude about that. We faced that. All of that. Now we're set free to work. Be a dominant force. Not pooper scoopers. A dominant force. When Noah stepped on that boat, evil reigned. When he stepped off, he walked off in righteousness. Righteousness began to reign. As we're stepping from the ark in the 10th month, we're stepping into ruling this part of our world. By faith, we already need to begin to see a changed, cleansed world. A world not ravaged by sin and destruction. By obedience, we are saved. Our families are saved. All of those that we've touched are saved in this new day. All of those that believe rule and reign in this earth freely. Can you imagine? We're beginning to move into an area where we're going to freely rule and reign. Well, you're not convinced yet, but you will be. We've landed on the mountaintop. We see other mountains. They are ours. The dove has confirmed our success. You understand that about Noah? The dove is what confirmed success. We've sustained. Now we're free to enjoy the benefits. Does that mean we don't work anymore? Please. You know me better than that. I'm the guy who says there's no retirement. To those that believed in Noah, they were saved and set free. To others that refused to walk in faith, they perished. Choose. That's what the Bible says. Choose you this day. Amen? I firmly believe, for those of you who know me, I'm not a salesman. If I were a salesman, I'd put this in a prettier package. But I'm sold on God. And the only thing I have to sell is God. I'm telling you, God is for us. I don't understand why 10 years or 12 years or 14 years have had to go by. I don't understand why 120 years had to go by. What have we just determined? I don't understand. Now what? See, Christians need to get to a point that God don't need your understanding. He needs your faith.
Right.
He's got all understanding. He's got our, he is our answer, people.
Right.
All we got to do is hang in there with him. He's the answer. And I'll tell you, it's not starting today. He's been my answer for forever. He was my answer when I was burned to a crisp. He was my answer when my back was broken and then it wasn't. He was my answer when I needed a spouse. He was my answer when my children got hurt. He was my answer in the middle of the night when death was upon him. I never looked for another answer. He was my answer when I said, God, I need an answer. And he says, look at the light. He was the answer at the beginning of this thing. He's the answer now. He's never failed us.
Right.
Not one time. Early, in the first few weeks of this thing, when we found ourselves without a place to worship, we went out to the park. I never will forget that. No place to worship. Went out in the park. And I just preached like I had good sense. Praise and worship people. Did their thing just like they were smart. And along comes a guy by the name of Dan LaRiviere, walking through the park because he just had a fight with his wife, which was on a normal day-to-day basis. And he heard something. Is he here today? His loss. Just as long as God got to him, doesn't make any difference. But see, those kind of things I'm telling you by the prophetic are changing. You hear me? No more stealing. No more stealing. Let me ask you something. How could Noah have had anything stolen from him? Because God released him, right?
That's right.
Into an area where there wasn't any thieves.
That's right.
Now we've had Jesus come along, give himself, pay our debts, and give us something else. We rule and reign in the midst of enemies. Now,
yeah.
We have something Noah didn't even have. Come on, y'all ought to get a little excited about that.
Yeah.
Even if I don't act too excited, I am. Y'all stand with me. Now, if anybody in here doesn't know the God that I've just described to you, you really need to.
Yes.
I mean, it's very important.
Yes.
Very important. Very important. Your inheritance depends upon you. What are you teaching your family? What are you teaching your children? What are you going to teach your grandchildren, your friends, your relatives? That God's always right and I'm not afraid to do what he says. I don't care if it costs me my life. Because if I love my life, I lose it. If I give it up, I gain anyway.
That's right.
Well, Stan, what if it takes another 10 years? For those of you who know me, know the answer. I'm telling you it's not. But if it does, it does. I've said it to you before, I'm going to say it again. Something is going to burn our lives up.
Yep.
We will die from something. Let us die from serving God.
Yes.
When at the end of my life, I hope somebody stands and looks over my casket and say, that guy, I think God killed him. Just used him up. And I'm going to raise up and say, yeah, yeah. Yeah, praise you, Lord. I can look forward to retirement. What a joy. What a joy. I can look forward to living on Social Security. What a joy. Or I can look forward to building the next ark.
Yes.
Looking at the next horizon, the mountaintops.
Yeah.
Because I know his mercies. God himself is new every morning.
Yeah. Amen.
What does that mean? He ain't going to let you get bored. He's not going to let you get bored. Not going to let you get bored. There's either going to be a battle or a victory, and you're always going to be enjoying one or the other. I'm telling you now, we have a place of victory here. That's what I'm telling you this morning. What does that mean? What does victory mean to me? Let me tell you what it means to me. I want to see souls saved.
Yes.
I want to see them not floating around, bouncing from every church to church. Yeah. I want them finding the Word and sticking in there no matter what. Even if the Word slaps you around a little bit, so be it. Here I am, God. Hit me again with some more Word. I want to walk into a church service and expect to be changed every time
yes.
I go there.
Yes.
Every time.
Yes.
I want half the time, if I'm sitting out there, I want that seat to be so uncomfortable I can't hardly stay there. And if it's up here, I want it to be more uncomfortable. Do you know how hard it is for me to believe that I'm walking out of the ark and looking at a new world? Because I've got now 57 years of old. You hearing what I'm saying? But that just means my faith has to stay true, stay steady. God said it. That settles it. I believe it. Let's get it correct. God settled it. That settles it. I believe it. Y'all need to go around changing all those bumper stickers. All hearts clear? Need to pray with anybody? Health issues, finance issues? This is the first day. See some mountaintops. Let's get going. We have some dominion to take. What is it?
Can you pray for my brother, Mishik? And pray for our meat. He came from South Korea. And he don't have a steady job. Living on his brother.
Does he know God?
He don't believe in God.
Oh, now we know what to pray for.
He told you want to go with me, and they will pray for you. because you prayed for my sister. My sister was in hospital, but she's now okay.
Praise God. Praise the Lord.
My sister, that's why I went to see India. She was almost dying, but she was in psychiatric hospital. She can remember everything, and she's okay.
So
that's what I was thinking. That's why today I told Sumit, you have to take me today because of my sister is doing okay, and they prayed, all of them, for my sister. You know what they prayed? Everybody, my sister was dying, but she's now okay. I told them, do you want to go with me? They will pray. Oh, I am an atheist or atheist, whatever. I don't believe in God.
Well, God believes in them.
That's right.
I thought maybe that's why your situation is like this. And you were just floating. You were not settling anything.
Good testimony. So you're affecting your family. You're reaching out. Then let's pray. One of the things that the Bible says is they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony.
Yes.
It doesn't say by the blood of the Lamb. It doesn't say by the word of the testimony. It says both. Now, we know who's the healer.
Amen.
We know how it works. And we know that it works for everybody that asks and believes.
Yes.
Amen? Amen? And I thank God for the day she walked in, a total non-believer.
Yes.
And I thank God that he's done things to her and for her that prove that he's alive and real.
Amen.
Yes.
Father, we thank you. I thank you so much for this testimony. I thank you that it reflects the true God, one that loves and never rejects, one that desires to heal and to help and preserve and restore. You've done that for her. And that's increased her faith. It's increased our faith so much now that we want to pray for her brother and all of her family, everybody that she comes in contact with that doesn't quite understand you. I know you don't get insulted by somebody saying, I don't believe in you. You happen to know that don't make you go away. We now send the love of Jesus.
Yes.
We send the bruises and the stripes. Lord, heal and touch infirmities. And then do what you always did. Holy Spirit, minister and draw him unto the kingdom of the living God. Yes. Cause him to eat the words that I am an atheist. And that I love God begins to spill out of his mouth.
Yes. Yes.
Let that testimony go far and wide in furthering the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Continue to touch this lady. Continue to touch her son. Continue to touch her family in all aspects.
Yes.
For your honor, for your glory. God, hear and answer this prayer. Because we ask you and thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody agrees, says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Richard, did you need something? Thank you. Father, we thank you that you're teaching this man in the process of healing this man.
Yes.
This is not a blind man. This is a temporary unsighted man that's on his way to seeing the mountaintop.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, teach him, number one, that he didn't lose anything because of his church.
Amen.
That's like saying, I lost because God did something. It's not... I know that he didn't mean that. I just know that he needs to work on his testimony.
Yes.
For that, we thank you. We thank you for him. Now you ask. I mean, you heard what he asked. You said you have not because you asked not, and I heard him ask.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Now give him what he wants. Even if he doesn't want it, give him what he needs.
Yes.
Give him his sight. Give him his ability to go out and produce for the kingdom of the living God.
Yes.
Not be condemned, not feeling bad because of what he can't do. I could just picture Noah inside of that boat beating the walls saying, I can't do nothing inside of here. So I know the feeling. So we release him now in Jesus' name into this world that you've created not only for us but for him. Give him hope and give him glory as he exalts you and honors you. Heal him from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. Mentally, physically, financially.
Yes.
And for that, we give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Got all the time in the world for God. He's got plenty of time for me. Amen. All righty. Then don't forget our dinner at back. Everyone's welcome. Far beyond anything we could think or ask. All right. We praise God for that. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, I thank you that you know every heart. You know every need. You know every want. You know every disappointment and every draw and every pull. Let us throw all that down now in Jesus' name and get our eyes refocused on you. What you say, what you feel, the word that you've given us. Trusting you forever, Lord. And I thank you in advance for this new thing that's happening right now in everybody's life. In this church's life and everyone here. Everyone here. Thank you, Lord. 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 We receive it with thanksgiving now. We reserve nothing and give you all. And now your commitment. Everybody that agrees with that prayer that I just prayed, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all be dismissed.